Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Judge Ripple, the third member of this panel, is in South Bend today. Considerations of the health of one of the members of his family required him to be there, but he is participating by speakerphone and will participate fully in the consideration and decision of these cases. Judge Ripple, are you there? Okay. Our first case this morning is Schembe against Ashcroft. Mr. Horn.
Good morning, may it please the court. My name is Stanley Horn, and this is a case of the petitioner filing for asylum, which was denied by the immigration judge and the Board of Appeals. And what we are today is to look at the decision of the immigration judge, which was reaffirmed simply by the Board of Immigration Appeals. Part of the decision of the immigration judge weighs on whether or not the petitioner was credible. And the judge made a finding that the petitioner was not credible. But if you look at the record, there's nothing to support the judge's finding that the petitioner's testimony was not credible. His decision clearly is not supported by cogent reasoning.
Excuse me, Judge Ripple, is it possible to turn up the volume so he can be heard more loudly? No, the volume is apparently already at the maximum. Judge Ripple, could you restate your question? The volume is not very high on this end.
Okay, well, I've been having volume problems here as well. That's a terribly good connection by usual standards here. But my question was, what about the arrest warrants and the evidence that they were forged?
Yes, I think I'm going to try. I'm not sure I heard all of it, but I'll do the best I can.
With regard to the arrest warrants.
We're talking about the arrest warrants. First of all, the expert wasn't conclusive that the arrest warrants were fraudulent. And he testified first. No one asked the petitioner whether she knew that these arrest warrants were fraudulent. The burden is on the government to prove that she knew that she was presenting fraudulent evidence. This court has held that in other cases that the petitioner must be shown that she's presenting fraudulent evidence. She never knew. She testified that as far as she knew, these were sent by her father from Albania to the United States, and she presented them as such. No one has ever challenged the fact that she did not know that these arrest warrants were allegedly fraudulent. And
was this argument made to the BIA?
Yes, it was. And there's another factor that the expert couldn't testify to also, and that was the question of the identity card. Again, he never conclusively said that the identity card showing her membership was fraudulent or not valid. He only said that he had no basis for comparison to make a determination of whether or not that card was valid. So unless we can show that she knew that the warrants were fraudulent in some regard, that matter should be disregarded as whether or not as to the expert's testimony.
You know, there's an alternative finding here that even if she was credible, that the matters about which she testified were not so
that's
severe
right.
as
right.
to justify a grant of asylum.
Right.
So.
He made a finding that she was not credible. One of the things that he said, and I quote, that it's highly suspicious that she would be taken out of a meeting and simply held for 24 hours before she criticized the speaker. Now, we're not talking about the United States where someone can stand up and criticize a speaker, and if the police pulled them out of a meeting, we would really we'd be really critical. This is Albania, and in Albania at the time, she didn't have a right to speak out her mind. She was criticizing not a political party. She was criticizing the speaker for what he said. The police had absolute authority to pull her out and to arrest her and suffer the consequences of being held for 24 hours. There's nothing in Albanian law that that prevented the police from doing such a thing. And for the immigration judge to say that's highly suspicious is merely conjecture on his part. He has no basis whatsoever to say it's highly suspicious. No evidence was presented to show that this couldn't happen. There was no evidence to show that she was telling a falsehood. There was nothing at all. It was merely his own personal opinion. And on that basis, he cannot say that she is not credible.
What party was in power when your client was dismissed from the university because of her political views?
I think it was the Communist Party at the time, but I'm not sure about that. But the judge also made an interesting finding. He said that she couldn't have been arrested or have any political problems because she didn't belong to a political party. Now, if you read Section 208 of the Immigration Act, there's nothing in there that says she has to belong to a political organization. All it says is that she is allowed to apply for asylum because of her political opinion. Nowhere in the Act does it say that she has to belong to a political party, and that because she belongs to a political party or a political organization or any organization which is opposed to the government, she therefore is now eligible for asylum. The criteria is political opinion, not political membership in an organization. She testified clearly with minor discrepancies, but there are only minor discrepancies, that she was arrested, that she was brutalized, and that she was dismissed. She also testified that she was shot at, and that she was shot at and was told is because of her political activities. Now, clearly, this is a basis for someone to be afraid. This atmosphere continues in Albania to the present time. In the Human Rights Report, the country reports that the State Department issues, on page 1, which is the last State Department letter, which is in 203, it says, and I quote, "The government's human rights record remains poor in some areas. Although there are some improvements, serious problems remain. Police beat and otherwise abuse suspects, detainees, and prisoners. The police occasionally arbitrarily arrest and detain persons, and prolonged pretrial detention is a problem." All of this goes to substantiate exactly what happened to the petitioner. Conditions remain poor in Albania at the present time. Political opinion, as such, is either squelched or attacked. And the petitioner, in opposing both political parties, for suppressing free speech and freedom, was arrested, was detained, was beaten, and was shot at. And therefore, her fear of going back to Albania has a rational basis. As the Supreme Court said, if there's a 10% chance that someone will return to his own country and has a basis for an objective fear, she is entitled, or they are entitled, to a grant of political asylum. All of the findings of the immigration judge have no basis whatsoever and are unsupported.
Where does this 10% rule come from?
But I think it's Cardoza Fonseca.
You think it's Cardoza Fonseca? All right, thank you.
The immigration judge's decision is not supported by cogent reasoning. He made conjectures. He used his own personal prejudices, and it was not supported by the evidence. The only detrimental thing may be the warrants, and no one ever showed that the petitioner ever knew that these warrants. In fact, what happened was she asked for a continuance before the immigration judge, but she knew that certain evidence was coming from Albania sent by her father. And that's why she asked for the continuance. She presented the evidence as she thought it was valid. She had no reason to know at all that these warrants were not valid. Based on what she testified to, we believe that the immigration judge was wrong and that she should have been granted political asylum.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Horn. Mr. Coe.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Larry Cody, and I represent the respondent here, Attorney General John Ashcroft. The immigration judge's adverse credibility determination is supported by substantial evidence on the record. Moreover, petitioner has not presented any evidence that would compel a reasonable fact finder to conclude otherwise. The brief filed by the government thoroughly addresses all these issues, so I just want to highlight a few of couple of the points addressed by counsel.
Counsel mentioned this 10% chance of having a justifiable fear. Have you heard that? Where did that come from?
I'm off the top of my head, Your Honor. I am not familiar with that 10% rule. I'd have to go back and take a look and rebrief
certainly
that.
Certainly not in Cardozo-Fonseca. I don't think it's anywhere.
So, counsel mentioned, and Judge Ripple asked about the arrest warrants, and certainly if you take a look at the totality of the circumstances here and what the immigration judge had to look at, you could see that his decision was supported, amply supported by the record. Petitioner gave vague testimony, and all that he had to go by to corroborate her testimony was these arrest warrants filed by her sometime before her proceedings started. Now, the forensic expert, who was deemed an expert and stipulated to by petitioner, he concluded that these were not prepared by police in Albania, but were probably prepared in the United States using an American typewriter. There was no correct linguistic requirements on the typesetting. And moreover, the stamps used to notarize or certify the warrants, he also concluded, were made by the same stamp at the same time.
Well, it's pretty clear that these were not
so. There's no
legitimate, but he argues she didn't know that. She just had her father send it.
Well, Your Honor, there's the fact that the expert concluded that they were probably fabricated in the United States would certainly contradict her testimony that her father sent them to her. Moreover, she could have and did not file with the documents, as others do in similar cases, any sort of envelope or maybe a letter that went along with them from her father to show that they were actually mailed from Albania. And certainly that would have cast doubt on the forensic examiner's conclusions. However, she failed to do that. And the judge had on the record what he had on the record. And he used what he had on the record and supported his adverse credibility determination. Counsel also talks about the incident in 1998 when his client was allegedly shot at. There was discrepancies here between her testimony and her written application. Her written application states that her father's kiosk was burned down in 1997. In her testimony before the immigration judge, she states that she was shot at while walking home from work at her father's kiosk. So certainly, she couldn't be shot at walking home from work in 98 if her father's kiosk was burned in 97. So all these things combined on the record amply support the immigration judge's conclusion that Ms. Shakembe was not a credible witness. If the court has no further questions, the government will submit on its brief.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Cody.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Horn?
You.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Our next case this morning is Flowers.